you struggle asking for help, getting people to come and give you some aid when you need it? I think, guys, come on, let's admit it. Many of us struggle with that. I know I do. Hey, welcome to Intentional Living from our archives. Today, we're focusing on this topic of when you ask for help, how do you do it? And I was thinking, and by the way, I want you to participate today. You can call live and leave your comment on our comment line and tell us one thing that's helped you or tell us your story. I'd love to hear some of your stories at 888-888-1717. But the other day, my wife and I had to get a new sink for our kitchen, and it's an old cast iron sink to replace what we had. And instead of getting a nice light one that would be, that would be easy to put in, I got a cast iron one. I think it weighed something like 130 to 140 pounds. They helped me at the store to put it in the back of the car, and then I got it home. Well, you know, I'm not going to have Donna help me. And so Donna said, well, Randy, you can't lift that out by yourself. You need to call your son. And your son come over and help. Well, I called my son. He was busy. He said he'd come over a little bit later, which is fine. But what does a stubborn guy do when he's not going to ask for help? He drags it out himself out of the bag. You got the picture? Figure out how can I get it out without injuring my back, which I did, by the way. I'm proud of myself, but maybe that's a picture of some of you today. It's hard for you to ask for help when you need it. Getting a sink out of a car is one thing, but maybe getting something out of your life that you're really struggling with is something else, something that really needs some help, someone you need to talk to. And if you struggle with that today, I think you'll find it helpful. So what do you struggle with asking help for? 888-888-1717 is the number. We'd love to have you leave your story and your comments for us today here at Intentional Living. When do you ask for help and when don't you?
Hello, my name is Corey, and I listen to the program a lot. I absolutely love it. I was just wondering if you could give some advice on new marriages and housing. I am currently getting ready to get married. I live in an apartment right now at my aunt and uncle's house that I don't have to pay on. They're having me live there as a blessing because I'm a pastor. I am getting married, and my fiance isn't crazy about the idea of living there, and she's wanting to buy a house, but I'm looking at the finances and not quite sure how we can do that. I'm not totally sure how to address it. So if you could possibly do that, I would greatly appreciate it because I love this advice and I could use some of it right now. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. That's good. That's good timing. Here's a question coming in asking for help. I'll tell you, we had a post that we put on our Facebook and then on our website called 10 Reasons Not to Get Married. 10 Reasons Not to Get Married. I sat down and I looked at what are 10 reasons you should think about before you say I do before you get married. And we had our biggest day on our website 2 days ago, people coming to get that, which I thought was interesting. But you know, before you get married, I made the statement there, don't get married if you're not in agreement on the important stuff like money and kids and investments and life. And if you can't agree now on this very first step of how we're going to live, are we going to be good stewards of what we have? We're not going to get in debt. We're not going to get over our heads. It can become a problem later on. And I appreciate the fact that she may not want to live there and you want to save money, but if the two of you can't come to an agreement on how to do this, it's just a precursor to bigger problems down the road. So I don't think the issue is so much should we live there or not live there. I think the issue is how you make the decision to live there or not live there that would be more important to me. Because ultimately, you can make the right decision if you pray about it and you get out the paper and pencil and do the math and come up with a strategy of how you want to live. But if you guys can't do that about a house, you'll never do it about kids, sex, career, ministry, and life. Okay? Just a thought. There's my help. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Do you have trouble asking for help?
Yeah, you know, over my entire life, I guess humbly I say God's been giving me the gift of a giver.
Hmm.
But that also comes with not wanting to ask for help, always feeling as if, I wasn't really at the bottom and I had more than somebody else. And I'm 52, so it's taken my some years to come to the realization that you will get to a point where you need to ask for help.
Yeah.
You might be going through a trial, but God will help you at any time, but he wants you to ask for help.
So how are you learning to do it?
Community,
are you doing it?
Yeah, not that it's, I won't say it's not easy. The transition's been good because it gives you hope you didn't have even when you're an optimistic person. To let somebody help you is a true blessing.
Mm, yeah, it is.
And then thinking the other side of that, of how blessed you are when you help others.
Absolutely.
If you let somebody help you, they're going to get a blessing out of that also.
And you know,
so you don't want to shortchange anybody else either.
That's a really good point, Bob, because people are gifted in different ways. Some people are mechanically gifted and others are not. Some are mechanically challenged. Some people are, you know, have technology. Some people have insight. Some people have wisdom more than others. Some people have biblical knowledge. Some have, I mean, we look at the practical five essential areas of life: health, finances. We talk about work. We talk about relationships. We talk about spiritual development. And we can gain support when we go to those who can help, and at the same time make ourselves available to help others, not only in a business setting, but just as a ministry, because we care about people, which I think is an important thing. That's a good reminder, Bob. Don't short circuit what God might be doing to allow somebody else to help you.
Yeah, and then the last thing, I could talk forever, but the one thing that I think is important too is, you know, we say it all the time, but our God is an amazing God. And whatever those fears that you have are for asking for help, it's amazing how he will show you that there was no reason to fear.
Absolutely. It's a good reminder, because otherwise what we do, I think, if we allow fear or pride to drive us, Bob, I think it stops what, you know, the good thing that might go on in this, you know, this interaction with getting help. All right, hey, Bob.
Yeah, and
go ahead. Go ahead and let you finish your thought.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've stepped out many times in my lifetime on what I felt was a call, and it may take you some time in life or some time to develop that relationship with Christ to trust the call. But if you ever step out of that first call, like stepping off a cliff, it'll become addictive, and you'll be blessed many times over.
Good reminder. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate your call, man.
All right, thank you.
All right, have a good day there in Michigan.
This is Betty Garrett, founder of Caregivers for Cancer. One way you can be intentional in your caregiving is to ask for help. I know it is tough, but you cannot do this alone. Create a list of tasks, writing down things people can do for you, such as going to the grocery store, picking up the laundry, taking the kids to school, sitting with your loved one while you run errands, or they can even take your car to be serviced. There are a zillion things people can do for you. You just have to ask. Remember, it is a position of honor to be asked, so please let others help you and your loved one. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness, but a sign of strength, yet it is tough to do. Self-sufficiency is not going to get you any more stars, but it will get you a trip to stress land. Accept your limits and share the responsibility with family and friends. Develop realistic expectations for yourself and others. For Intentional Living, this is Betty Garrett.
That's good, Betty. Thank you for, you know, sharing that. And there is strength in asking for help, and we've been created to do that, to give and to share, and that's why community is so important. Okay, let me get Sonia on the line here from Kansas. Hi there, Sonia. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you.
Do you struggle asking for help?
Yeah, I think it all started when I was a child. It seemed like I was put in a position where I was the first, and I end up having more responsibility than a normal child, and really, my parents weren't really there at home to give me that type of, guidance. So I ended up doing things a lot more.
Uh-huh. So you became overly responsible.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it hurt me because now that I'm a parent and I have a husband that's gone all the time, I'm now put in that role of having to take on more than when I need to. And then I get overwhelmed and stressed. And then I felt guilty because I'm like, wow, you know, I'm so used to doing everything, and then when I ask for help, I get, oh, well, I'm busy, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then it's something, and then I just let it go, and then I get upset when I, why does anybody ever come to offer to help me? And then one thing that my husband tells me is, we need to move to around family, and then you'll get more help. And then I'm like, well, why don't they call? You know, or do something to show that they care. You know, I don't know if this sounds weird, and I know this is an odd subject, but I just tend to be the people pleaser, and then I get upset when no one else offers. And then when I do ask, then I end up wanting to just take over and say, never mind, I'll do it myself, because you're just not going to do it right. And I don't know how to get over that mentality and accept people's help.
Yeah, Sonia, I think you said it well. You're a firstborn. You're a responsible person. It's get it done. And here's what happens. Everybody looks to Sonia when something's got to get done because they know you'll get it done. It'll be done right.
Mm-hmm.
So they see you as the one to turn to. You're the go-to person. And yet inside, you're feeling like, hey, come and help me. Why can't some other people in this family step up? Why do I always have to be the one to do everything? But see, part of it, Sonia, is you've taken that on yourself. You've played that role, and there's a point where you got to lay it down and you got to ask for help. You got to, I don't know if this is in a family setting, like with siblings or whatever, but to be able to say, hey, I can't do this. You know, there's other things that got to get done. Here's what I can do. And you do what you can. But here's what's happening, Sonia. And I think this happens to many of us who are overly responsible people. We go ahead and do whatever we need to do, and we keep doing it. And then we resent the fact that our expectation of other people is not being measured, not being matched.
That's the problem. And how do I get my mind in the right track and be intentional?
All right. Well, here's what you have to do. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that happens by telling yourself the truth. The truth is you can't be responsible for what other people do or not do. And when you do and you place expectations on them, here's a reality, expectations minus reality always equals disappointment. And so you either have to adjust expectations or reality. And since you can't control another person, you've got to adjust your expectations of other people. In other words, when you do something, you do it within terms of your own ability, your own strength, without the expectation that others are going to pick up the rest. If you want help, then you need to ask for it. I think we get into trouble.
Even if they don't do it right.
There's another question. When they don't do it right, there's the ultimate control issue, isn't it?
And then you don't want to have conflict and then say something, because then they'll say, you're nagging.
Yeah.
And then you just say, forget it. I'm not even going to ask for help anymore. There's no point.
Well, it comes back, Sonia, to this word expectation. Here's the problem. We can't do it all. And whenever I feel like I have to do it all, and not ask for help. If my wife is listening, she's just chuckling right now. She's chuckling. She's saying, oh, Randy, you're preaching your strongest sermon on your weakest point today, because it's true. But I am reminded at those moments that I think about Christ. At the end of his time here on earth, he turned it over to others, didn't he? He didn't heal everybody. He didn't share the gospel with every person on the planet personally. He didn't do all the discipleship. He didn't, you know, build the church. He didn't do all these things. He got his group of guys together, the disciples, and he said, now go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I think in our lives, here's the deal. When we try to do it all, Sonia, and this is going to hurt all of us who love doing it all, it's really a prideful thing. We're saying it's not, if I don't do it, it won't get done. If I don't do it, it won't be done right. If I don't do it, the world is gonna struggle. The reality is, I'll tell you, it's hard to admit, but as John Maxwell says, take a bucket of water, put your hand in the bucket, stir it all around, pull your hand back out, and the water will go back to the way it was before. And we got to understand that here on this planet, God has a specific purpose for us. And we can make all the noise while our hands in the bucket of water we want, going in or coming out. But the reality is, if we keep our focus on Christ and not on our own importance, that'll help us not to have to do everything ourselves. I don't know if that made any sense. Did to me, but it's a thought about pride and control when it comes to not asking for help.
Something that I try to do intentionally every day for my marriage and that is to ask my husband how I can help him each and every day, whether it be errands I need to run in town, something I need to do for his business, something I need to do for him personally at home. That just really radiates respect to my husband that I have for him, and that I really care about just all things about him. And so that's something I intentionally try to do every day, and it's very simple. Just say, hon, how can I help you today?
Yeah, that's good. You know, I was thinking, it's easier to ask for help, I think, sometimes, or I should say easier to give help when someone needs it than it is to ask for help. At least that's for me. I mean, I'm the type of person, if you ask, you need help, I'll do what I can. And I think generally many people, or most people, are willing to give that lending hand or to help with something, but then in turn to turn around and ask for help, I think is difficult for some of us. And that's really the focus today. You know, the scripture teaches that we are to love one another, support one another, think not only of our own interest, but also the interest of others. But there are times in our life when we need to, and we should, for our own health benefit, for our relationships, for our spiritual growth, just for our humility, to reach out and ask for help. And that's where we are today. Love your comment, 888-888-1717.
Small velvety box.
Just open it slowly.
Oh, come on. What is something going to jump out at me here? What is that?
Hey, it's a cruise in a jewelry box. We're going to Alaska this summer.
What?
Open it again.
The 2022 Intentional Living Alaska Cruise is coming June 12th with the host of Intentional Living, Dr. Randy Carlson, and special guest artist Mike Weaver of Big Daddy Weave.
Hey, this is Mike Weaver. Man, there's no better place than Alaska to get away and see all our God has created. I'll lead us in some times of worship, and we'll just spend time together. I'm looking forward to meeting you.
The 2022 Intentional Living Alaska Cruise. Book your cabin today at theintentionallife.com.
You know, Big Daddy is going to be with us. He's quite a guy. We spent some time together, and he's got a great heart. He's looking forward to being there, leading us in worship and praise, doing some teaching. He and his wife, Candace, will be on board. In fact, they're bringing a couple of their kids. My wife, Donna, and I, of course, will be there. I'll be teaching, leading, and sharing with you and enjoying the fellowship and having dinner together as a community from Intentional Living. Evan Carlson and his wife, Kelly, will be on board. Evan's the president of the ministry. He'll be doing some teaching as well. But most of the time, it's going to be you and your spouse, your family, those that you bring with you, just enjoying the beauty of Alaska. Unbelievable sights. The Inside Passage, the glaciers, the wildlife, the scenery, the beautiful weather, and the fresh air of Alaska, June 12 through 19. Get your cabin reserved today and be a part of this great experience. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Boy, we'd love to have you be a part of it. June 12 through 19, the Alaska Cruise. And when I'm teaching, when we have a chance to be together, I'm just going to be teaching some of the really practical things from Intentional Living to encourage you about your future, about your family, about your relationships, about God's love for you, and about the power of living intentionally in Christ. You'll go away encouraged and equipped. I think when you get off the ship, you're going to say, wow, that was a great week. So again, the Alaska Cruise, June 12 through 19. Get your cabin reserved. Go to theintentionallife.com. How do we intentionally help someone in need? I am Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. You and I pass people every day in need. We see them on street corners here in America and certainly around the world. The scripture gives us a very provoking statement in 1 John 3:17. It says, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? It doesn't specifically mention money, but rather it says, don't close up your heart. What are the needs around you today? It may be to share money with someone in need in an intentional and thoughtful way. It could be, on the other hand, to share time or encouragement or shelter or a helping hand. So what's the goal? It's to help a person in need and give God the glory.
To get our daily video, sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Dr. Randy, this is Chris. I'm from Lansing, Michigan. Just calling to let you know that I started listening to you back in September. You have been incredible. Things that I've learned from you have been intentional in my finances, going through a struggle of possibly losing my house. Took your key points and just really started working on things financially and living intentionally for Christ and changing the aspects of the music and stations that I listen to and focusing more on trusting God and leaning not on my own understanding, but really focusing on Him, because only He can help me throughout the struggling times. And He definitely did. And now, as I've worked on intentionally with my finances, God has saved my house. And my increase has come through work and more pay and more time. And I just really want to thank you for what you've done and for the words that you speak and for the advice that you've given. It has been incredible. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. What encouragement. Appreciate it. Asking for help. Murray is on the line. Hi there.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. How do you relate to this topic today, Murray?
My family has struggled for the past 5 years. We've had to ask for help many times. Several times we were asking for help through prayer, and we would see God answer immediately. We have struggled with homelessness, and we've been told by different organizations during this time period that in order to get the help for housing, things like that, they would actually have to split up my family.
Oh.
We would have to submit the kids to the system, and then my wife would get housing through a women's shelter, and I would get housing through a men's shelter.
Mm.
And this has been going on for 5 years. We've since found housing where we're living with other people for the past 3 years. And we rent maybe a 12 by 12 bedroom, or we've rented a part of their house, couple bedrooms, three bedrooms is where we're at now, which is really nice. Asking for help has become something that has been, number one, humbling for me, as the man of the house. And also just basically a way of life for us, because we've lost our jobs. My wife is disabled, so it's been something that we've had to come almost accustomed to.
Well, you know, Murray, I'm sorry you're going through this, and I respect the fact that you as the leader in your home have been willing to ask for help and continue to progress by taking advantage of the help that people offer in order to better your life and your family. Unfortunately, we live in a world today where, man, you look at what's going on around the planet. The need for help is everywhere. And in fact, unfortunately, and many times, the willingness to receive help is greater than the willingness to give help. So while we focus today on the aspect of asking for help, many times we ask for help out of still a position of great strength compared to some people in the world who are asking for help out of a need for survival. And I guess I would be remiss if I didn't share, I think as a follow-up to what Murray is sharing and what's going on in the world today, that those of us who have been blessed, the scripture says, we've been blessed in order to bless others. And so, you know, the help that you can give to other people today may be very practical. It could be a word of encouragement. It could be buying a meal. It could be supporting a ministry that's making a difference in your community. It could be, helping clean the yard of a widow or a person that needs some help. I know our own ministry here has Servant Saturdays that we set up around the country through our radio ministries, where we invite the community to come out and serve others in the community. because it is out of this opportunity to serve others. And I hear this theme throughout this whole broadcast, that we receive a blessing as we help others. Father, let me, Murray, let me pray for you to the Father in heaven today. And Lord, I pray for Murray and for everyone who's called and everybody trying to get through. The needs are great and seem to be greater than the resources, but we know you own the cattle, as it says, on a thousand hills. And I pray that those of us that have will be able to give to those who are struggling today of our time and resources and heart and prayer at every level. That today will be a reminder, not only asking for help, but a willingness to give help. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
I would challenge us as a family, a team, and those of you who are part of the Intentional Living community, to take on a 30-day challenge for these next 30 days to read Scripture. Now, maybe you're already doing that every day. That's good. It's fantastic. Maybe for some of us, we're not a regular in our life, but for 30 days to say, I'm going to read Scripture every day. And then number two, to really ask the question, how does the passage that I'm reading impact both the moments of my life, what I'm facing right now, and what I will face tomorrow in the miles?
Listen, that's an excerpt from the teaching this month on the topic of the miles and moments of life. We live in the moments, don't we? But we have miles ahead, prayerfully and hopefully. And the lesson is just designed to give you a lot of encouragement about how to be intentional in your life and the moments of your life. And I'll tell you what we're doing here this month of March. For brand new members, what's a member? Someone who supports the ministry. We challenge you for $1 a day, $30 a month. It goes into the ministry. Make sure the radio broadcast can continue and the outreach that we have on podcasts and the other things that we do through Intentional Living. But for all new members or those increasing support, we're sending my best-selling book, Starve for Affection. Why do we crave affection in marriage? What does it mean? What's the difference between love and affection? And we're going to be sending you this very powerful book from Intentional Living, Starve for Affection. And those of you who are new members joining us in monthly support, we'll make sure you receive the audio teaching. It'll come to you by email, both video and audio, on the miles and moments of life, plus one of our programs from the archives, plus ongoing every month, a brand new teaching will come to you from our Intentional Living Training Center. So come and join us today. Please, we need your help. We really do. And I thank you in advance. You can find out how to do that by going to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. Hey, thanks for joining me today. And thank you for your help. We appreciate it. God bless you.